Well, awaken. What in the world? Our series is Not in My House. It's all about what you come to expect in church. And a lot of you have grown up in church and you've come to expect different things. I don't know what you expect to happen in church, but it's certainly changing in our culture today. What's happening in churches across the country. Every time I turn on the news, it seems like something different is happening. When I say different, I'm not saying necessarily in a good way, because churches are abandoning some of the great tenets of the faith. What should happen in church? And I picked an incredible story here found in John chapter 9 about a guy who's been going to church his whole life, but he was born blind. And something interesting happens. Jesus spits and makes some mud. Mud in your face. Mud in your eye. Have you ever heard that term before? Here's mud in your eye. Well, I was kind of curious because I know when I was a kid, my mother used to spit into a rag. Actually, she got that from her mother, my grandma Schumach. Great, awesome, large German woman who can snore. Grandma Schumach, she went to be with the Lord. I got to lead her to the Lord. She professed Christ on her deathbed over the phone. That was one of those salvation moments you pray your whole life. And I got a phone call here in Michigan. She was congenital heart failure. And they said, we'd like you to talk to Grandma about that stuff you do. That was what they said. And I said, what's that stuff that I do? And they said, well, you know, that preacher stuff that you do. I said, oh, you want me to talk to her about Jesus? So I shared Jesus with my grandmother, and she confessed and put her faith and her hope and her trust in the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe that my grandmother and her profession of her faith and her trust in Jesus Christ, that Christ's work on the cross was enough for her to have salvation. But man, my grandmother, she used to scare me. She used to spit into a rag and wash the back of my neck. And I'm thinking to myself, why not just spit in my face and wipe it off? Any of your family ever do that? They'd spit into a rag and, you know, do that? Yeah, I see a lot of heads nodding, right? What's that all about? Yeah, in your hair, right? It was you know, a face cleanser. It was a hair gel. It was a healing balm on your scraped knees. But your parents spit on you, right? Where does that even come from? So did a little bit of research. Here's spit in your eye, which comes from the phrase, here's mud in your eye, okay? So here's where it comes. You had to look this up. It comes from an old toast. An old toast, years ago, men gathered in pubs and local watering holes, saddled up to the bar on high stools. They lifted a wine or beer glass of spirits. They proclaimed, here's to mud in your eye. That's the toast. Well, what did that mean? Well, where did that come from? It's a strange toast. And in my book, it doesn't kind of hold a candle to, like, the Jews. At least their toast was L'chaim, you know. L'chaim was, hey, to life, not here's mud in your eye. Or the Russians. The Russians have a term, nazdorovya, which is to your health, not I'm going to spit and make mud in your eye. So where in the world did that come from? Well, there's a lot of theories, and here's at least two or three. Some think it was developed from farmers. That farmers, when they're putting in their crops, they're behind their horse. And so after a long day of plowing a field and those horses flinging mud up, hitting them in their eyes, they would get to the bars to have a cold drink or something afterwards, and all the farmers would get together, and they'd hold up a pint, and they would say, hey, here's mud in your eye, which is, here's to a good crop. Here's to a blessing of another good year. That's one theory. It's a pretty good theory, actually. Another one was at the horse or dog races, to those betting that the dogs would fling up mud and it would get in their eye, and it was, here's to a good bet. May your dog do well, the dog you have in the race. So here's mud in your eye. I hope you win. I hope you have good fortune. But really, if you take it far enough back, the best one I found, and it has lots of verification, like pages and pages on the internet, it's the ancient toast referring to John chapter 9, when Jesus coughed up saliva into the dirt, made a mud pie, slathered it into a blind man's eye, then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is from the Hebrew word sent. like the blind man, I'm looking at my own life to see that I need a miraculous touch. And I'm wondering why God sometimes has allowed so many bad things, so many weaknesses and setbacks and illnesses and woundings. They're slowing me down. And I'm like those around the blind man asking, who caused this man to be blind, his mom or his dad? And so many times in our lives, we ask the question, why is this happening to me? What have I done? And we're all waiting for Jesus to spit in the mud and to slap that saliva, that mud pie, and to heal my situation. And yet, while Jesus is spitting and concocting a compact of mud, he answers, no one sinned. This is for God's glory. You wonder why you're going through what you go through? You wonder why the church is the church? The church, here's what you ought to expect in my house. And that's our sermon series, not in my house. What you ought to expect is you ought to expect to see the glory of God when you get together in God's house. That's what you should come to expect. That ought to be at a regular basis. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's start this way. It says, there was a man born blind. That's the first thing we start out. There was a man born blind. What's his name? His name is Mankind. Mankind is born blind and unable to see all the glory that God has made, the glory of creation. You hear people all the time, they can't even slow down. We are so blind, mankind has been born blind, that you look around and we can't find God's glory. Oh, I mean, I hear it all the time. My life stinks. Oh, my Mondays, I hate Mondays. I hate Wednesdays. Oh, my life, if I just had this. Man has been born blind to the glory of God's creation. It's true. Mankind sees all of God's creation as a random chance of multiple accidents. Mankind sees a fetus as a random tissue without life or rights. Mankind is born blind. Mankind is born blind without the eyes to see the worth of other human beings, born with selfish ambitions and murderous schemes. Mankind is born blind without the ability to see the wonderful diversity of culture and skin color. We are born blind, unable to see past the flesh of intimacy and into the heart of intimacy. Mankind is born blind. We cannot see what's going on around us. It says there was a man born blind. And we go to church all the time. And people sitting in church this morning can be so blinded to the glory of what God wants to do in your life. All you see is what's going on in the world. And trust me, what's going on in the world is blinding. Every time I turn on the news, it's blinding. I turn on the news to North Carolina, where preachers and the governor and everybody in the Senate there said, hey, we're just passing a law to say this. We just simply want to protect the church's right to not have to do homosexual marriages. That's all we're saying. If that's what they believe in their Bible, they don't have to do this and worry about going to jail. And the world is coming unglued over the idea of this. In Mississippi, they're saying, look, we just want to simply protect the rights of those who say they're Christians. And PayPal and MGM and Disney have come unglued and said nobody should shop in these states like Georgia and North Carolina and Mississippi, while at the same time doing business with at least five countries who put homosexuals to death. The hypocrisy of our blindness. We are so blinded, we cannot see the glory of God. I think we're so blinded because the world doesn't want to see the glory of God. The world hates the sunshine and loves the darkness. And the minute the sun comes out, they're getting burned, and so they want to get rid of the sunshine. I'm making sense this morning. And what should you come to expect when you go to church? Because there is a day coming, and mark my words, it's not in my children's lifetime. It's not in my grandchildren's lifetime. It's in our lifetime where this is going to be illegal. Trust me, the Bible says so. This is going to be run by a state who's going to dictate exactly the words that can and cannot be said. And the church is cowering to this. Not in my house. Not in my house. That's our series. The blind man could not see the glory of God. is this a metaphor? And there was a man born blind, and he was in the church. I think this is a metaphor. How many of us are blinded, and we go to church? What's interesting to me in this, there's a couple of crazy things happening in the story. Number one, I think it's crazy that there's a man that's still blind in the church. Number two, I think it's crazy that the Pharisees see this man get healed, and they're not happy for the man being healed in their church. They're upset that a blind man can now see in the church. And I think our government is frustrated with the church rising up with eyes to see. And they are angry. They are the Pharisees. I think our government is the Pharisees. They are the Pharisees. It's hard to see it. It's hard enough to see God outside the church. The one place you ought to be able to see God is inside the church. And so here Jesus opens up the eyes to hope and love, and the world is upset. And even the established church is upset. So here we go. How is it that he can see? Verse 19. This is interesting. How is it that he can see? And in John 9:19, we hear, "Is this your son?" they ask. "Is this the one you say was born blind?" And here's a great question. How is it that your son can see? That's awesome. He's been born blind, and how is it that he can see? You and I have been born blind. We are in sin. And the world wants to know, how come you believe this? How can you believe this ridiculousness of Jesus being the Son of God? The world wants to know, how come you can see the Son of God and they can't? That's a metaphor, folks. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? You see God, and you're around people, and they go, how can you believe that stuff? That's the question. How can you see this stuff? It's because you were born blind and Jesus healed you. You became a Christian. You were born again and you left a womb of sin in which you were blinded in this womb of sin. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you were born again and now you can see. That's what's happened to you. And the world is still in that womb and they're going, how is it that you can see? They were upset that he was healed, that he could see. He found the Messiah. The church in the dark ages, this has been common in the church. In the dark ages, the church said, look, we're corrupt. We don't want people seeing. And they got so afraid of people reading the Bible and realizing that the Pope and the Archbishop, I mean, good grief, Thomas More was put to death for this. Because the Archbishop of Canterbury was so corrupt. And on and on and on and on these things go. You see this corruption, and the church got together and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that nobody reads the Bible. That's what happened in the Dark Ages. And so everything was in Latin. Did you know until 1962 that the church, the Catholic Church, everything was in Latin until Vatican II, right? You know this. How many of you grew up Catholic? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you might even see some of those Catholic churches still. They're actually talking about returning back to masses in Latin. And they called their people laymen, laity. And everybody's like, oh, would you like to be the chairman of the layman board? Do you realize what that word means in Latin? It means stupid one. I'm not making that up. That's a literal translation. It means stupid one or ignorant one. They so did it, and they didn't understand. Yeah, I'd like to be the chairman of that board. You're overqualified because you raised your hand. You're going to be the chairman of the stupid ones? Yes. Why? Because if we give you a Bible, you might read it, and if you read it, you might misunderstand it, or you might understand it and realize that there's no such thing as indulgences. You can't pray to these saints because they can't hear you. They are not gods. They cannot have attributes of God. They cannot hear you. They just can't do that. You can plant Christopher in your garden. You can flip, Columbus upside down. They're not going to get you to your destination any faster. They were humans. They were great humans. Humans, but they are not gods. Do not attribute to. Well, if you read the Bible, you might actually understand that. And that's why they took the second commandment out of the Bible and they split the first one into two. Oh, you didn't know that. That's exactly what happened. See, these kind of things take place all the time. And so we have this story, not in my house, is we have a story where a man is healed and all of a sudden he was blind his whole life and now he sees Jesus. And the church is upset. And the church is upset. The world is upset. They want to keep. You know what they said to him? Look at John 9:34. This is what they answer. They go, tell us, who is this man that healed you? He goes, he must be the Messiah. And then their answer is this. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? You know what they're saying? You are just a nobody, a sinner since you were in the womb. You are worthless. How dare you tell us who Jesus is? And we live in a world where people get saved. They could be poor. They could be destitute. They could be prostitutes. They could be drug addicts. They could be you. They could be me. And we get saved, and God starts using us, and the world looks at us. Who do you think you are to lecture us about Jesus? I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I am found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. See, I was a wretch. You're right. I was steeped. The difference between me and the people like that, I recognized I was steeped in sin at birth. I recognized that. Yes, I was. And how dare I lecture you? I'm not lecturing you. You ask me. You ask me what this Jesus is. Isn't that interesting? We live in that world. Welcome to America. In verse 22, they even asked his mom and his dad. They said, hey, let's bring his mom and dad in. And his mom and dad wouldn't answer because in verse 22 it says his parents said this. They said, look, he's of age. Ask him yourself. They were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged, help me out here, let's say this together, anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was to be, there you go. Folks, welcome to America today. Anyone who truly stands for Jesus Christ is going to be put out, and they're living in fear. In the workplace, in Hollywood, in politics, in our government, they're afraid to say anything about Jesus because they might get put out. Well, you can't be talking about Jesus in here. I'm going to acknowledge, I'm going to let you know, it's time that we become so bold in our faith. We need the boldness of David and the courage of Daniel to say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he is the Son of God. Well, I don't know if you should be saying that. He is the only way to heaven. I don't know if you should say that. It is the only true religion. I don't know if you can say that. Well, I just did. I can and I will. Okay? He is. Well, you should really think about that, because people say, like Oprah and others, that Jesus isn't the only way. Not in my house. People say that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. Not in my house. People say in North Carolina that, you know what, you can't decide what they want to believe than doing marriages between men and men and women and women. Well, not in my house. People say that all religions are the same. Well, not in my house. People say that marriage is okay for man and man, woman and woman, a threesome, a foursome, and you can even marry your pet, and it's happened. Well, not in my house. They say that the Bible isn't true and that man made that book up. Well, not in my house. In my house, the Word of God is the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, marriage is between a man and a woman. God made them male and he made them female. And in my house, we are going to say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to the Father except through him. In my house. And in the church is scared to death to preach it. And we'll attract people by saying what their itching ears want to hear, and we'll gather 40,000 every Sunday in a stadium as long as we keep it Jesus light. And churches are afraid to say it in their own churches because people sitting in the churches are afraid to believe it because of what they hear outside. And a man born blind could now see. And he goes, I don't know. All I know is the man spit, made some mud, slapped it on my eyes, and now I see. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Not all religions are the same. Not all people are the same. But people are threatened by the sunshine. You know what I find interesting is they demanded four times, these Pharisees, they demanded four different times in this one passage in your Bible. Let me just show you the four verses. It's 10, 15, 19, and 26. Four times they demanded, how did you get your eyesight? So here's the question. Does the world really want to know how we can see Jesus? Do your family, do your friends really want to know? Because here it is. In verse 10, here's the question. They demanded, how then were your eyes open? Tell them. And he did. And then the next verse in 15, they ask again. Therefore, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said, look, I'm telling you, he put mud on my eyes. This isn't making any sense. People don't spit a loogie into the dirt, grab a mud pie of saliva and dirt, slap it on your eye, and now you see. That's, you went to a doctor, right? You went to an eye specialist, right? Something, come on. That's two. The third time, they asked his parents, you got to tell me something. This kid wasn't born blind. This is a scam you've been running for 30 years. They asked his parents, is this your son? Yes. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see? Could you see the mom and dad going, we're going to get kicked out of the church. He's of age. Ask him. He's right there. Good answer. Right? They're scared to death. Let somebody else answer this. Fourth time in verse 26, they asked the man again, what did Jesus do to you? You know what, folks? That's a sermon right there. What did Jesus do to you? What did he do to you? My dad asked the question when I got saved, what happened to you? You went to a youth camp. What did he do to you? I'm leaving pre-law. I'm going into ministry. What did Jesus do to you? Dad, he called me to be a preacher. I can see my future. No, you're on a camp high. It'll go away, were my dad's exact words. What did he do to you? Why are you sitting in church today instead of sitting at home waiting for the big snowstorm in April? What's wrong with you people? Get your snow shovels. Yesterday I was on my tractor. I borrowed a lawn roller. I said, I got to roll my lawn. It's soft. I had my snow pants on. I had three parkas on. I had a beanie cap, a toque, and I had a hoodie on. And I'm out there freezing going, I'm going to mow my lawn if it kills me. My neighbors are looking out their window. He's some kind of crazy. Well, they know that. I've lived there 16 years. And I'm not rolling. Now I said, you know what? I'm going to mow this lawn. And I cranked on the blades, and I mowed my yard yesterday. I don't care what the forecast says. I'm mowing my lawn. What did Jesus do to you? What did he do to you? He made me some kind of crazy to the world. But I'd rather be crazy to the world and sane with God than crazy with God and sane to the world. You decide who you will stand before one day and be judged. I will be judged by my God. That's the day we live in. Not in my house. You go ahead and pass all your laws in Michigan that you want to. You pass all your laws in the U.S. about preachers and what they can and cannot say. Folks, this is nothing new in the history of mankind. Mankind, there was a man that was born blind. His name was Adam. And guess what? We have been blinded ever since. Unless you've been awakened. Has Jesus spit in your eye? Do you want to? I love his answer in verse 27. They ask this guy, and they're like, hey, tell us again. And I love this man. He is not educated, trust me. He's considered cursed, so he's had a rough life growing up. I mean, kids picked on. He's blind, trust me. More than one or two people have punched him in the face and said, who hit me? I'm sure he's run into more than one or two walls. And I'm sure at church they've said at the synagogue, Mom, Dad, God hates your family. Your son is blind. God must hate you guys. You must be the worst sinning family hiding it. Because this is why this happens to you. This is what's going on in his life. So they ask him, who healed you? What's going on? What did he do to you? And he just looks at these guys and goes, why? You want him to do it to you too? You little so-and-so, you were steeped in sin from birth. How dare you? Right? I love it. If he were around today, I'd hire him on staff. Right? We'd make him a Sunday school teacher. This guy's awesome. Maybe he's you. Maybe that's you. We don't even know where this guy came from. That's what they said in verse 29. We don't even know where he came from. Isn't that interesting? We don't even know where he came from. Jesus shows up, we don't even know where he came from. Folks, let me do this. Sometimes we don't even know where Jesus came. It just hit us out of the blue. I love that Rich prayed for our families. That spoke to my heart for family members in my life. Because here it is. I don't know how and I don't know when, but Jesus is going to come sweeping on through in my family's life and save them. Because that's what he did in my life. He just showed up. I mean, out of California in an old station wagon, right out of National Lampoon's Vacation with Chevy Chase. My uncle, his wife, and six girls got rid of everything and drove 1,300 miles to Ipswich, South Dakota, because God told him he's going to save your family. God told me to pack it up, leave my job, give my house away, give my furniture away, and here's me and my girls. We're coming to the farm. Jesus is going to save everybody. And I'm telling you what, my grandmother passed away last week. 103 people later, the result of my grandmother's offspring, 103 of us. And 90% of us are following Jesus Christ now. See, my uncle was right. He's in heaven. Went way too young at 52 with cancer. But he got his reward and he finished his mission. You see, you don't even know where, we don't even know where this guy came from. Isn't that what John 3:8 says when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, the teacher of the law, the church, always the church, always fixing the church. Jesus spent 3 years trying to fix the church, and at Pentecost, he fixed it. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with my spirit. You know what? God does things in our lives that we don't even know. He can move in just like that, and he can move out just like that. You can't control him. You can't contain him, but you want him more than anything else, the Holy Spirit. I don't know when God's going to move in your life, but can I tell you something? What you've been praying for, the Holy Spirit's on the way. That wind is going to blow. Friday, I was working. I couldn't believe it. I was in the gym, went into the gym. It was snowing. Came out of the gym. It was freezing rain, and by the time I got home, it was raining. I said, you got to be kidding me, all in one day in Michigan. That wind was blowing the snow sideways. I don't know where that wind came from, but it showed up and now it's gone. I don't know when Jesus came in sideways into your life, but he showed up, didn't he? He gave you a husband and a beautiful little girl. He gave you, protected your husband in a shooting this week, and now we know all that's there. But we are praying on that military base that God would protect those. He gave you your life. He gave you salvation. He gave you another chance. He gave you how many chances? 50 chances? He gave me at least 5,000. I don't know about you, but he shows up at the right time all the time. So why do I want to stand and say, not in my house? Because all this other junk, all this other religion people try to bring in, not in this house, not in this house. We've come to see the glory of God. And that's what you should expect, the glory of God. We don't know where that spirit comes from, but you know what it says? It goes wherever it pleases. Let me take that word pleases real quick. That word pleases is an awesome word. It really is. I want to close with this. This is so cool. I looked that up. I think it's in, don't quote me on this, I believe it's Ephesians 5:10 though. And it says, find out what pleases God. I'm pretty sure it's Ephesians 5:10. It's not in my notes, but let me just say this. I think this is just from my heart. I believe that God gets pleased by us, and things that we do please his heart. Just like your children do things, and you're like, oh, that just makes me feel so good. Have you ever had your kids please you, and you're just like, I just love you so much? I mean, not that you don't love them, but they just did something, and it's just, thank you. It's awesome. It just bless my heart. And God loves you. But there are things that just please him that you can do. And the Bible says the Spirit will go wherever it's pleased or you're being pleased. And in fact, he told the woman at the well, she says, hey, you know where I'm going to worship? I'm going to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, no. Not in my house. The temple? I'm changing that. See, before the Jews worshiped in Jerusalem in a temple, but now my Father is seeking those who worship in spirit and in truth. And that word seek, I looked up that word seek. It's an awesome Greek word. It's that Greek word that means, it's zeteo. It means to go after. It says God is going after or pursuing, or craving worshipers. Do you know your God craves you? Your God pursues you. Your God is going after worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. He wants to open your eyes so that you might see. Have you had your eyes open? Some of us might still be living in darkness. Some of us are still, I don't care how religious you are, and you can go to church. Can you see God? I love Plato's allegory of the cave. The great philosopher Plato said a long time ago, he said, a metaphor, there's a cave. Kind of like this, there's this cave. He says, and imagine two men chained inside this cave at the back wall with their hands up in chains. That's their whole life. That was this blind man. So I want to connect the two. He said, imagine from the opening, the light shining, and all these men see are shadows. That's all they can see is shadows as things pass by that cave. They see a shadow, but that shadow is reality. That's all they know. He says, imagine, Plato says, if one day one of these men were to break the shackles and to turn around, he said the other man would scream, what are you doing? Get back in your chains. What are you talking about? And he goes and he walks out and he looks and he sees this bright fireball in the sky that feels warm. And as he steps out of that gray, wet, damp cave, he looks, and as his eyes start to adjust, he sees something green on the ground, and he goes over and he starts running his fingers through these blades of green. So soft, so beautiful. And he looks, and there's these trees of crimson and yellow. There's a brook, and there's animals, and there's a sky. And he looks up in the sky, and he can't believe it. This is what's real. His eyes have been opened. And Plato said, what would happen if that man ran back into that cave? And he goes back and he says, hey, let me take those chains down. Let me help you take those chains down. That man would say, are you crazy? What has happened to you? Get back into your chain. He says, you don't understand. This isn't real. I've had my eyes open and I stepped out of the cave. And I've seen color instead of black and white. We're in stereo in FM instead of AM. I've seen what's really real. And Plato said, you know how hard it would be for this man to convince his friend? He said the friend would say, you're crazy. Get back in your chains. I see what's real. It's right in front of me. We live in a world of people who have been born blind, who are in chains. Since the time of Adam, our world has been chained up, looking at only a shadow of what God has done. Don't miss it, friends. Don't miss what God has done. Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. We're going to do a whole series about what you should expect in church. And here's the first thing that you ought to expect, that God opens the eyes of the blind. And so this morning, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just think about your life with your eyes closed so you don't see the shadows, you don't see the chair and the color and the lights. What I want you to do is ask God, God, are my eyes open? Have I been born again? Do I know you? God, help me to see your glory. Help me to be like that blind man, Lord. Open my eyes. Heal me so that I might see you. You got to recognize, first of all, yes, I was steeped in sin at birth. I recognize that. I recognize I was born into sin. That's right. I can agree with that. Born blind. If that's you, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Jesus is offering us, for those of you that want to trust in him and say, God, heal me. Open my eyes. I trust in you today, just like my grandmother did, just like my uncle did, just like my family. Say, God, I put my faith and my trust in you. Jesus, you are the Son of God. I confess that with my mouth, and I put my trust in you. Save me. If that's you this morning, with nobody looking around, just you and I, and you just want to make Christ the Lord, to say, God, today I'm going to trust you with my life for salvation. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. If that's you, yes, ma'am, I see that arm. Yes, ma'am, I see that arm. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All around this place. Yes, ma'am. Oh, God bless you. I'd like to do one more thing. Can everybody just look up here? I just felt like God was saying it's time. There are people who just want to stop being religious and saying, you know what? I know people will understand, but I want to get out of these chains. So many of you did that. I would like to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do something that's courageous, and I know everybody in here would agree with me.